Amen. Our lesson text this morning is found in Matthew 6, chapter 9 through 13. And the title of the lesson is On Earth as It Is in Heaven. Amen. So verse 9 says, After this manner, therefore pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. And then verse 10 of Matthew 6 is our focus verse. And that says, Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Amen. And then our focus thought this morning says that prayer is our privilege and our obligation. Jesus' model of prayer teaches us the form and not the words of prayer. Amen. I'm thankful that we have that lifeline called prayer. Amen. And it becomes a very important lifeline, spiritual lifeline, to keep our minds and hearts in tune with God. Amen. And I'm so thankful for it. Aren't you? Amen. Praise God. Amen. Just last night, I was telling my wife this morning, I had a disturbing dream. At about, I don't know, 12:30, I woke up and prayer was the key to calm and to get rid of such dreams, which I'm sure everyone has a crazy dream once in a while, but in this dream, seriously speaking, I could feel a bad spirit there. I said, Lord Jesus, help this dream to go away. And it did. And I'm thankful that in everything that happens in our life, we can reach out and touch the Lord. And it is truly, God's will is already done in heaven. That's where God's will is. We're praying for that will, that same will that is done in heaven to happen here on earth, and not just on earth, but in our hearts. Amen. And that's where it becomes personal. Praise God. And I'm depending more and more on these glasses. And yesterday, I told my wife, I said, you know, the bad thing about wearing glasses is I always forget where I lay them. And then I'm running around the house trying to find them. So, one step at a time, growing older. Older. Amen. But prayer this morning, I think it would be good if we looked at a fresh new look of prayer. Amen. A fresh new look at prayer. It is not a dull, dry, boring time. That's what the flesh likes to tell us. Oh, man, do I have to do this, or do I, you know? But prayer is one of those things that it really has to become a habit, a disciplined habit. And when it does, and then you're so thankful that you have followed through on that, because then the rewards start to return. Amen. Maybe not at that point. Sometimes at that point you feel God's power. Other times we pray just a basic prayer. Last Friday we prayed a basic prayer when me and the boys went hunting, we call it a hike, and then if you get something, then it turns into a hunt, see? Then that way you're not embarrassed. I went hunting, came back with nothing. I went hiking. But anyway, on our way up, Jordan says, we going to pray, Dad? I said, sure. Lord Jesus, help us. We're opening our eyes. We're going down the road, praying with our eyes open. Help us to be careful. Help there no brown bears get us. And help us to have a successful hunt. And, you know, that kind of general prayer, and the Lord gave us a black bear. Amen. So we came home with one. But, you know, those simple prayers are effective as well. But the whole key is that our job is to be effective in keeping the mindset of that needing for prayer. Amen. The scripture talks about prayer without ceasing. And it's a mindset that, Lord, I need to stay in communication with you. Amen. So he's a great God. He's the Almighty King. He is always there. It's kind of like electricity in our home. HEA has given us electricity here on the peninsula. Oh, yeah. That's true. Amen. HEA fails. God never fails. He's always there. But hopefully, for the most part out of the year, we do have electricity to our home. And as soon as that electricity is shut off, boy, I tell you, we know it. The washer doesn't work. The dishwasher doesn't work. Well, maybe she does. It's just at the sink. Well, come on now. So anyway, everything stops working, including, you know, a lot of things there. I'm going to have to repair later. But things don't work. And if it's during the winter time, the heater doesn't work. And boy, we start getting on the phone real quick. HEA, what's going on? Come fix this. And usually, they're pretty good. They'll come out in the middle of the night, whether it's snowing, freezing, raining, they're out there, and they'll try to fix it. Prayer needs to be plugged into, and we've got to stay connected to God through prayer. And once we're connected, then that power is available to flow through us. Amen. But just like we become dependent on the electricity in our home, we need to become dependent on the power of God through prayer. Amen. And sometimes there's a tree that will fall down on our line of communication to God, and it breaks that communication. And so all the resources need to focus on that obstruction to that line and make sure it gets repaired and gets that tree off there so that line of communication to God can open back up. The old song that used to go, or still goes, but we just don't sing it, talking about the royal telephone. Amen. And I don't know how that goes. But it's more than just two cans with a string on it. It's a communication. It's a direct communication. Amen. The line is not ever busy. Amen. And the Lord knows our call and our prayer. And I'm thankful that we can communicate to the Lord. So God's will is already happening in heaven, and we want God's will to happen on earth. Praise God. When God's will is in action, when you look at the scripture, there's a purging that has to take place. There's a cleaning out before God's will is done. Our flesh is carnal, it's natural, and if we look to heaven for an example, heaven is a holy place. Heaven is a place where many angels are with the Lord. But at one point in time, there was one angel, believe it or not, he was an angel called Lucifer, that somehow lost his touch with God somehow in the perfect place where God's will needed to be done. And apparently Lucifer wasn't ready to repent or make things right. And so God had to clean him out. And that is probably one of the biggest things that prayer does, is keeps our heart right with God. Because if our heart is right, everything else will become right. But if our heart is not right with God, then our life will not be right with God. And so somewhere in Lucifer's heart, if angels have a heart, he rebelled. I don't know if it started with a little bitterness, but I'm sure it started with something small. And that something small grew into something bigger called rebellion. And the Bible says that rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. So it's completely opposite of God, of not submitting to God's power and his authority. And so God took Lucifer and he cast him out of heaven along with one third of the angels. That tells me that if the angels can be deceived, then Keith Eichard is allowed, could be deceived as well. Right. You could be deceived as well. So the opposite of that, the way to combat, if we do not want to be deceived, is to stay in tune, keep our heart in tune through prayer to God. Right. Amen. Someone say, praise the Lord. So Lucifer, his allegiance was distracted from God somehow. And instead of praising and worshiping God anymore, he was deceived, and his focus somehow got taken off of God. And Lord, help us. Jeremiah chapter 17, 9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and is desperately wicked. Who can know it?" And I know this is it's real serious part of the lesson and strong, but human nature says, "I'm doing pretty good. I really don't feel like I need to pray." I just went to church last Sunday. I don't feel like, everything feels like it's all right. But then when we go to pray, we find that we find a fresh new touch of God, and God starts to touch us in a strong, very emotional way. And we're going to look at that a little bit later about how our emotions work in prayer. But the key here in Jeremiah 17:9 is that when we pray, we're getting our heart back in tune with the Lord, because it is deceitful and we don't even know it. We don't know our heart. So that's the object of praying, is to get our heart in tune with God. Amen. There is a song that was written by Samuel Scott and Robert Sand, and the words go, "Prayer is the key to heaven, but faith unlocks the door. Words are so easily spoken, but prayer without faith is like a boat without an oar." The first transparency, if we can look at that this morning, one needs two oars to row successfully, otherwise he will go in circles. Isn't that true? Amen. Now there's a couple other things we can look. Number one, when you're rowing a boat, you need to have a destination. The wind and other things of nature can distract and get you off course. So a destination is important. How many know there's that, you know, water, you know, the boat is where the safety is. But the calm water, you can go across a lake one day, and in the same day, it may be boisterous and pretty dangerous on the way back. So things are apt to change in life serving God. Amen. On this boat. Another thing I notice about rowing is that if you've got two people in that boat, it's a lot easier. Your load gets a little lighter. And the boat gets there quicker. And you have strength to go further. And if you ever seen these big, long, skinny boats that have a lot of oars and a lot of people, they all work together in unison, and man, that thing gets going quick. Very effective. Now, I don't know how this plays into the lesson, but I've had a little experience in a boat about that size. Except there was three of us in the boat. And we didn't follow directions. And my mom, my dad, and Brother Harris, this was in Lake Naivasha in Kenya, and they said, "Now you guys stay close to us." Of course, they had the motor boat, and we had the oar boat. "And be careful at Hippo Point. Stay away from the hippos." Well, come on. I mean, there's hippos over there. We got to check them out. And we had been drinking Coca-Cola in the bottles. That's when they had the good old bottles, and Coke was a lot better than it is in the cans. And we had empty bottles clinging around in this little tiny thing. And there's three of us, and I'm squinched up in the middle. And I was also the youngest. And we got to these hippos, and these hippos, they never do nothing. They're, you know, like big brown bear. They just lay there. Yeah. So they were all just, you see their ears once in a while. That's all. See little eyes. That's all. Just two little ears, just like that. Two little eyes about that big. That's all. Harmless. No wrinkles in the water. Nothing. Flat, calm. Man, these guys are sound asleep. They need some help. Pick up those bottles. And we were a little close. And boy, all of a sudden we realized those hippos aren't by themselves, man. The little babies started coming up. And mama, she dove underwater. All of a sudden you see her whole back coming around. It's just, where is she going? That's not enough. Kelly and David. And I don't know how that hippo knew where those bottles were coming from, but she found out. And all of a sudden, our fun turned into panic when we saw bubbles coming towards our boat. I was in the middle, and I see the bubbles getting closer and closer, and they're... And meanwhile, David and Kelly, they are arguing over which way to leave, this way or that way or that way, and we start spinning in circles with this boat. And every time we come around, I see the bubbles. Finally, I thought, you know what? I'm probably in worse off if I dive in and try to swim by myself, and these crazy guys fussing. But finally, I thought, okay, it's time to pray. So, Jesus! Jesus! I started praying really hard and fast. The Lord answered that prayer, believe it or not, as a kid. And the last go around, I saw the bubbles like from here to the drums. And next thing I knew, we were in harmony and unity and getting out of there. But I will never forget that. And I would like to say that if we did not pray, that we would have been history in the making. Hippos are in the top five as far as killing people. They don't eat you. They just kill you. They chomp your boat in half and destroy you, especially when they got little ones, and then carry on. But anyway, if you want to have success in life, make sure the oars are working together and going one direction. Amen. So prayer without faith is like a boat without an oar. And thank God that we need two oars. And as far as serving God, we need prayer and we need faith. Amen. So God, give us faith. Put prayer with it. God, give us prayer. We put faith with it. Amen. The scripture says in Mark 11:23, says, "For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith." That's a strong scripture. So when we pray for a specific thing, we really need to believe from that point on that it will happen. Amen? Amen? And that way we keep our faith alive and strong. Praise God. So both of these must work together, prayer and faith. Praise God. When they operate together, that means success. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Someone say, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. We don't want to go in circles. We want to get somewhere. Amen. We want to go someplace. Praise God. And prayer and faith is the key for success. Amen. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse 14 through 16, lets us know that Jesus was tempted in all points. Amen. He was tempted like as we are, yet without sin. And then the scripture goes on to say, "Let us therefore come boldly before the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." Amen. The Lord is there as long as we reach out to him. So we can go to God boldly before the Lord. Amen. Scripture mentions that, was it one of the prophets that said, talking about the power of God was like fire shut up in his bones. And there is times of prayer where we're going to feel that fire. Amen. We're going to feel that emotion of the fire of the Holy Ghost. It's purged us. We've repented or we've cleaned out. Fire has burned inside us. We're excited. That Holy Ghost fire is alive. And there is a man called Oscar Voga. I think he might have been an older pastor in the organization a long time ago. But he said, "I was born in the fire, and I cannot live in the smoke." Amen. So Lord, help us to live in the fire. Amen. Because not very many people doesn't like smoke. Amen. Prayer is important. If you've ever been around people that know how to really pray, and you know there's people that you have in your life that you can think of that comes to your mind when you talk about prayer because they've had an impact on your life. It could be your mom. It could have been your dad. And hopefully that could be the case now in our life, that we set that example. But when we know of someone who prays and touches God and knows how to, usually when there's a tough situation, we get on that phone and we want to get a hold of that person. Because they know how to touch God. Amen. That spirit of prayer and that touch of God that they know how to get in touch of is what we want to be around. Praise the Lord. And it is so good that not only to pray alone, but to pray together. Amen. There's times when words aren't coming to my mind so good in prayer, but I begin to feel and begin to hear someone else praying. And that causes something to start up. And then I begin to pray on my own. Amen. Has that ever happened to you? Praise God. There will be times that way, but prayer is very important. Samuel, in 1 Samuel 12 and 23, "Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and the right way." So here it is for Samuel that it would be a sin against the Lord to stop praying. When we look at it that way, prayer is very, very important. Amen. Jesus taught us the example of prayer. Someone may say, why did Jesus have to pray? He did it for our example. And he had flesh. He was flesh like you and I. He got hungry when he fasted. He wanted to eat. And he was tempted by the devil to make the stones into bread. So he grew hungry. When he was on the boat and the waves came and the wind came up, he got tired. He was asleep. He was resting. So his flesh needed, just like you and I, to have that spiritual part come alive and to, so to speak, crucify the flesh. And so his example, if he prayed, how much more do we ought to pray? Praise the Lord. Prayer can never be underestimated. There are prayers that are happened quickly. You're driving down the road, a moose pops out, and you say, in Jesus' name. And the moose diverts or turns around and goes back, or something happens. Quick prayers happen. There are instant prayers happen where people are healed instantly. There are other prayers happen in a few minutes. There are other prayers happen in a few days. And then there's maybe a job situation, so forth. There's other prayers that happen over years' time. Brother Boddington in Bulawayo, Zimbabwe, is a minister. And Sister Iker and I visited him and his wife and their family. And we met his parents who were at this church service. And later on, he told me, he said, "We prayed for my parents who were divorced over 20 years. That they would get married and come back to church." Wow. And they were in that service. 20 plus years of praying for his mom and dad. Puts him at a young age that he was praying for his mom and dad to be reunited. And come back to the Lord. That's diligent prayer. God, give us that diligent prayer that God will answer it and the faith to go with it. Amen. That God, it's in your time. Whenever that is, we're still not failing you. We're right here. Praise God. Transparency number two. Praise God. Men ought always to pray and not faint. And pray until something happens. Praise God. And in the meantime, when we feel that nothing is happening, there's a lot happening in our own life because we're staying in tune with God. Amen. So there's always a benefit there. Prayer is an expression of the soul. Amen. When a baby is born, there is before that, there's some labor going on. There's some pain. There's a burden. And I understand it's a cumbersome burden, and it's not easy. And you husbands experience part of that pain, just a little bit, because the wife is not the... Boy, I got to be so careful this morning. I'm going to be walking on... Move on. Yeah. Well, anyway, so let's go on to the exciting part. We don't want to labor here this morning. So the exciting part is when that baby is born, there is a burst of emotion from our heart and soul. Now, everyone is different. I don't know how your testimony is when your first experience of your first child was born. My first experience with our first child, I broke down just crying and bawling, and but I was happy. It was a happy cry, but I was just so thankful. As you know, this it was an expression of joy. And what kind of... I would be pretty lame, so to speak, if I just didn't show up and didn't care. And when it happens, oh, yeah, that's good, honey. Good job. There's some expression that goes on there. And whether it's running, shouting, you know, all the hugs that go on in that room, that room becomes just, and soon it just overflows with the excitement of that newborn child. There's an expression of the soul that happens. And so when we pray and we feel God's power, don't let anyone ever tell you that prayer and church and all that together, that there should not be a, you know, it should be solemn and just, you know. Hey, we've got a right to express some joy of what God has done. Amen. When we've carried a burden for a long time and God answers prayer, amen, and brings it to pass, and we see God's power develop right in our life, hey, we can get excited and praise and worship. We can get excited with joy and pray and cry. There's nothing wrong with that. Just as this, there's nothing wrong when a team gets closer to winning. The closer it gets to the end of that clock, the more the people are on their feet. Because something's about to happen. They sense that the goal is going to get scored. And once that goal is scored, I tell you, they're anticipating that goal. And once it's done, everybody just explodes with joy, enthusiasm, so forth. So prayer is the same way. Lord, we come to you in faith, and we're expecting it to happen. And once it happens, then it just gets bigger. So Lord, keep that faith alive and that expression of the soul. Lord, help me not to ever put a lid on what God is trying to do in our hearts and lives through prayer. Amen. Through praise and worship. Amen. I don't want to put a lid on it. Is that all right? Yeah. Praise God. Song says, when the Spirit of the Lord is upon my heart, I will dance, I will jump, I will sing. Amen. These are expressions. Let's clap our hands to the Lord this morning. The lame man at the gate, beautiful. He was having an ordinary another day, asking for alms. And when a man named, was it Peter, that came by, and he began to let his request be made known. You know, he's needing some alms. When he received his healing, the Bible says that he was leaping and walking and praising God. Something happened to his feet and to his ankle bones where he could now walk. Praise God. And he was going to express it by leaping and walking and praising God. Amen. So I'm thankful that no emotion compares to what prayer and touching God does. There's that other end of the spectrum of what prayer does. And so many times I just bring this down to home. On Tuesday night prayer, I see this happen many times where we're praying in a deep, strong prayer. It's that intercessory prayer where God's Spirit moves in and you're humbled and tears flow and tongues are spoken and you're praying in the Holy Ghost and communication is going between you and the Lord. That words that we don't understand in prayer that is made that we don't understand what's going on, but the Lord knows the spirit to spirit that's happening. And it's that kind of intercession prayer, that emotion of power of God that comes over us, nothing compares to that one either. It's on a different level, but it's still prayer. Nothing ever replaces a prayer meeting. We looked at the boat, and you know, more than one person in the boat. And I can pray at home, and this is what happens. And we do, and I'm so thankful that Pastor Glover has encouraged us to have prayer at home just for a few minutes. Amen. And we turn the music on, and we get down and pray. And you know what? God can move in a strong way, and He does in our homes. People have got the Holy Ghost in homes. Healings have happened in our homes. Amen. But there's something about that praying together. And when the Father initiates that, it's so much better or good. Amen. I'm so thankful that we have good families that we can pray together with. Amen. But there are times, and I'm just putting a plug here for Tuesday night prayer, is that on my own, if I go to pray, I say, oh, I'm going to pray for an hour at home. I'm going to do this. Start off like this, Lord, I thank you for this day, and just I love you and I praise you. And I better go pray. Yeah, it's just important. And then, Lord, and ring, ring. Oh boy. And on it goes. Distractions happen, don't they? But at least I know that when prayer time comes, there's a time of focused prayer that there's going to be no distractions. The dog's not going to be barking, not going to be let, you know, all these other things. It's a set aside time. And, you know, even at those times when I think that I just don't need them or I think that I could get by without it or whatever, it's those times where I come and once it's over, I'm so thankful I went. I got so much out of that. Amen. And you know what? We've been serving God a long time. But I'm not going to be deceived by the devil and say, I don't need to pray no more.
That's right.
Amen. Okay, let's move on here this morning. We're running out of time. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 1 talks about Solomon praying, how that fire came down and consumed the burnt offering and sacrifices. And the glory of the Lord filled the house. Verse 5 talks about they were dedicating the house of God. Listen to the sacrifices that were made to dedicate the house of God. 22,000 oxen. It's a lot. 120,000 sheep. That's a lot. We can't hardly even think of that. That took time. It took sacrifice. A big, big, big sacrifice there. But in the end, the Lord appears unto Solomon by night and said unto him, I have heard thy prayer. That's the reward. And have chosen this place to myself for a house of sacrifice. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. Lord, help us to get to that point of the humbling part of prayer. Amen. God, help me to humble myself unto your will, because we want your will that is in heaven right here on this earth. And God, it's going to have to take my action of humbling before your will is accomplished. Praise God. Transparency number three. Prayer and repentance are a powerful tandem operation. Prayer and repentance. Amen. So when we come to the Lord, I know many times that's how we start our prayer off. Lord, forgive me. Search my heart. Amen. Make me right with you so the rest of this prayer can be effective. Amen. And Mark chapter 11, 25 and 26. And when ye stand praying, forgive if ye have aught against any, that your Father also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father, which is in heaven, forgive your trespasses. You know, that's one we skip over a lot. Lord, help me to forgive. But there's no buts in there. Amen. There's no excuses in there. It's Lord, I've got to forgive. There's a point in this lesson where it talks about being busy. And I just want to talk about that for a minute. Probably busyness is one of the biggest distractions of why the church houses are not filled. I think, long story short, we have found as mature Christians that if we put God first, everything else will follow after. Okay. That's what the scripture says.
Right.
All of our needs. And when we say needs, that goes from emotional to spiritual, all those things. Fathers, husbands, let me just plug in here, going back to when the dad gathers the family and says, let's pray, something happens there. That's how God kind of put it in place. Is we as fathers need to step up to the plate and say, let's pray. Amen. And help us not to become so busy that we forget God in prayer. Amen. There is another denomination, so to speak, that prays five times a day. They pray before the sun rises, is their first one, for about 10 minutes. Then they pray again. Oh, I wrote it down here. Help me, Lord, find it. Okay, let me try to remember. They pray again at noon. And then they pray in the afternoon, and then they pray in the evening, and then they pray at sunset. It's five times every day. To a God that is not like our God. Amen. God, help me to put a priority on prayer. A priority on prayer. A priority on prayer. Let's stand this morning.